हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद शिवाय सभी चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निधाय गौर प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर नाइन, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 26. Purusha Swabhava Vihitan Yathavaranam Yathashramam Vairagya रागोपाधिभ्याम आमनातो भय लक्षणान पुरुष स्वभाव विहितान यथावर्णम यथाश्रमम वैराग्य रागोपाधिभ्याम आमना तो भय लक्षणान पुरुष स्वभाव विहितान यथा वर्णम यथाश्रमम वैराग्य रागोपाधिभ्याम आमना तो भय लक्षणान पुरुष स्वभाव विहितान यथावर्णम् यथाश्रमम् वैराग्यरागोपाधिभ्याम् आम्नातो भयलक्षणाम् जी पुरुषा द ह्यूमन बीइंग स्वभाव बाय हिज ओन एक्वायर्ड क्वालिटीज विहितान प्रिस्क्राइब्ड यथा अकॉर्डिंग टू वर्णम Classification of caste. Yatha, according to ashramam, orders of life. Vairagya, detachment. Raga, attachment. Upadhibhyam, out of such designations. आमनात सिस्टमैटिकली उभय बोथ लक्षणान सिम्टम्स ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय. ट्रांसलेशन एट महाराज युधिष्ठिर्स इंक्वायरी Bhishmadev first defined all the classifications of caste and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. Purport. The purport is quite long, so this has been divided into two parts. Today we will cover half. Tomorrow there will be half part. Purport. The conception of four castes and four orders of life as planned by the Lord Himself, Bhagavad Gita 4.13, is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit. And so also in the Mahabharata, it is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 60th chapter. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. First, not to become angry. Second, not to lie. Third, to equally distribute wealth. Fourth, to forgive. Fifth, to beget children only by one's legitimate wife. Sixth, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. Seventh, not to be inimical toward anyone. Eighth, to be simple. And ninth, to support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides this, the Brahmanas, the intelligent men, the administrative men, the mercantile community, and the laborer class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. For the intelligent man, Brahmanical class, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. Sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. This means he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literatures, especially of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is sent person engaged in devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the Shastras. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Therefore, the result of education is misuse of high intelligence in so many ways. The Kshatriya, the member of the administrative class, is especially advised to give charity and not to accept charity in any circumstances. Modern administrators raise subscriptions for some political functions, but never give charity to the citizens in any state function. It is just the reverse in the injunction of the Shastras. The administrative class must be well versed in the Shastras, but must not take to the profession of teachers. The administrator should never pretend to become non-violent and thereby go to hell. When Arjuna wanted to become a non-violent coward on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was severely chastised by Lord Krishna. The Lord degraded Arjuna at that time to the status of an uncivilized man for his avowed acceptance of the cult of non-violence. The administrative class must be personally trained in military education. Cowards should not be elevated to the presidential throne by dint of numerical votes only. The monarchs were all chivalrous personalities, and therefore monarchy should be maintained, provided the monarch is regularly trained in the occupational duties of a king. In fighting, the king or the president should never return home without being hurt by the enemy. The so-called king of today never visits the war field. He is very much expert in artificially encouraging the fighting strength in the hope of false national prestige. As soon as the administrative class is turned into a gang of mercantile and laborer men, the whole machinery of government becomes polluted. So we'll conclude here the purport. Tomorrow we'll read more. उमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। एट महाराज युधिष्ठिर इंक्वायरी भीष्मदेव first defined all the classifications of caste and orders of life in terms of individual's qualifications. Then he systematically in twofold divisions described counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. So welcome all of you for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's a very beautiful section from the Srimad Bhagavatam wherein the glories of Bhishma Dev have been very wonderfully expressed here in this chapter 9 of the first canto. We just sang Sachisudashtakam and we are just very close to the celebration of Gaur Purnima festival. So I thought I'll just make that beginning and then come to this particular purport. Bhishma Dev has a connection with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Navadvip, there are 9 islands and there is one island called as Janu Dvip. In Janu Dvip, there is one place called as Bhishma Teela. So the pastime goes like this, that when Ganga Devi gave birth to Bhishma, Devavrata, and he was the only son who remained alive, so Ganga Devi left Shantanu Maharaj in order to train her son. So she sent Devavrata to heavenly planet where he got trained under Brihaspati. And then it is mentioned that when Ganga Devi brought her down on the earth planet, first she visited her own father. Ganga Devi have many fathers, but one particular father which is mentioned here is Janu Muni. Now we all know that when Ganga descended or came on this earth planet and Bhagirath Muni was showing the way of where Ganga should flow, so that ultimately Ganga could reach Ganga Sagar, the place where his ancestors, Bhagirath's ancestors, were in the form of ashes. So on the way, Ganga Devi was flowing very, very, it's a huge flow of river. And as Bhagirath was moving, Ganga came to this part of Mayapur, and by mistake or error, she flooded the ashram of Janu Muni, who was doing tapasya there. So Janu Muni became very angry, disturbed. So Janu Muni had a lot of siddhis. So Janu Muni drank the whole Ganga, one gulp. So Bhagirath Muni was going ahead, King Bhagirath, and he could not hear the sound of Ganga's flowing. He turned around, saw there is no Ganga. Just imagine Bhagirath Muni's plight, you know. Where is Ganga? And so many years, literally so many lineage has passed to get Ganga down, and Ganga is gone now, disappeared. So he retraced the path and he came to know that Janu Muni is the one who has drank the Ganga water. So he earnestly prayed to Janu Muni, and Janu Muni understood the whole reason for bringing Ganga there. And so forth. So when Janu Muni drank Ganga, he drank from his mouth, but then he released Ganga from his knee. And therefore, because she was again given birth in a special way by Janu Muni, so she got the name Janavi, because she was also daughter of Janu Muni. So Ganga's father is Janu Muni. So Ganga Devi brought Devavrat, Bhishma, to Janu Muni's ashram in Mayapur, and told Janu Muni that you give him association, he must become a pure devotee. So they said that Devavrat stayed with Janu Muni for a long time, and Janu Muni taught him pure devotional service, and also taught him various other things which will be useful for his life. So while Bhishma was staying in Mayapur, he understood Mayapur is a special place, something special, vibrations were coming there. So he asked Janu Muni, what is this place all about? So Janu Muni revealed that in future, in the age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear here. So hearing this, Bhishma became very intrigued, and he wanted to actually witness the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Janu Muni told him that you should meditate on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he will appear in front of you. So this place in Janu Deep is a Bhishma Teela. Of course, this Teela means a small hill that is no more there now. So Bhishma did tapasya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his darshan to Bhishma Pitama. And then Lord told him that after this you will play a major role in my pastimes when I appear as in Dwarka, in Vrindavan, in Mathura and Dwarka. And you will be very instrumental in the fight of Pandavas and Kauravas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also predicted to him that in the time of your death, you will give instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir on Dharma, the Raj Dharma. So this is some connection of Bhishma with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as we come closer to Gaur Purnima. This particular verse almost begins the instructions of Bhishma Pitama directly to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Previous to this, Bhishma has glorified Krishna and has expressed his plight and sorrow on the sufferings of Pandavas. And now here, the focus has come where he is going to speak about the instructions of Dharma to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada gives a very brilliant purport. Srila Prabhupada mentions about how the conception of four Varna and Ashrama is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, is elaborated in the Puranas, and is more elaborated in the Mahabharata. And especially here, Srila Prabhupada points out that this particular instruction of Varnashram Dharma, especially the kingly duties which Bhishma is delineating to Yudhishthir Maharaj, comes in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 68th chapter of the Mahabharata. So we see in Mahabharata, it's a very voluminous literature. We heard somewhere people saying that, you know, Mahabharata contains 1 lakh verses. But people also say that the verses of Mahabharata are so big that they are like couplets. So almost like 2 verses in 1 verses. So sometimes it is mentioned, it is not 1 lakh, it is actually 2 lakh. So voluminous literature, and there are, like we have Bhagavatam has many cantos, So Mahabharata is many parvas. It is divided into many parvas. So there are many parvas. It is mentioned Mahabharata begins with So there are 18 parvas in the Mahabharata, and each parva has sub parvas. Sub parvas can be considered to be like cantos, and in that there are chapters, something like that. So the first parva of Mahabharata is called as Adi Parva, which is the beginning of the entire description of the whole pastime of Kuru, King Kuru, and then Shantanu Maharaj and all that. Then second is, of course, that's a very fast, it takes you directly to the time where Pandu and Dhritarashtra are born. Second is Sabha Parva. And third is Vana Parva. So now Sabha Parva is all about Pandavas. The Pandavas story has begun. Third is Vana Parva. They are exiled. Fourth is Virat Parva, where they are in incognito for 1 year. Fifth Parva is Udyoga Parva, where they are preparing for the fight. Sixth Parva is called as Bhishma Parva. And that's where the fight begins. So why it's called Bhishma Parva? Because Bhishma is the main person of that Parva. He is the one who is the commander-in-chief of the Kuru army. So it's called Bhishma Parva. So, sixth Parva is the Bhishma Parva, and that Parva remains till Bhishma actually falls on a bed of arrows. Then seventh Parva begins, which is called Drona Parva, because Drona is the commander. Then eighth Parva is Karna Parva, where Karna is the commander. And that is the 16th and 17th day of the Kurukshetra battle. Ninth Parva is called as Shalya Parva, because he is the last commander-in-chief, where no one is remaining. Three of the Kaurava warriors are remaining. So that is the last in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the 18th day, Shalya Parva. The 10th Parva is the Sautik Parva or the Sleeping Parva, where Ashwatthama very mercilessly butchers the sons of Pandavas. The 11th Parva is the Stri Parva. Stri Parva is all about lamentation of ladies for all the losses that has incurred in the Kurukshetra battle. So the ladies are lamenting for either their husband or their brother or their children or even their father, like that. And then 12th Parva is called as Shanti Parva, and 13th Parva is called Anushashan Parva. So now again 12th and 13th Parva brings in Bhishma. So this is what we are reading today, is from the Shanti and Anushashan Parva of Mahabharata. Of course, there is elaboration of the whole thing. So, after sixth Parva got over, Bhishma was sidelined. He was not seen in the Mahabharata. But when 12th and 13th Parva came, then again Bhishma came into picture. So, we see the whole story of how Bhishma, he lies on the battle of Kurukshetra, and again Krishna brings him into the main picture. So this 12th and 13th Parva, Bhishma is instructing Maharaj Yudhishthira. So the background of how this Parva has come into is, in the Sautik Parva, it is said that when the Sautik Parva and also the Stri Parva, Maharaj Yudhishthira is feeling very remorse. He feels the whole battle of Kurukshetra has happened because of his own material desire to become king. And the whole thing comes to a climax when Maharaj Yudhishthira is offering tarpan in Mother Ganga for all the diseased person, and Kunti comes in and whispers, please offer to Karna also. And he's surprised, why to Karna? Then she mentions that Karna is your elder brother. And I am asking you to do because Karna has no lineage. There is no one in the family of Karna remaining. They all have died. So you have to offer. And that's where the whole crescendo happens, like, you know, camel's back. What is that saying? Last straw on the camel's back. Hunch, camel's hunch. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was so devastated by hearing that. And he feels that this is actually because of me. And then he resolves there that I am going to leave everything, no kingship, I am going to renounce, and I am, just like what Arjuna was thinking before the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking after the battle of Kurukshetra, that it is all because of me. Arjuna was thinking, because of me this will happen, and Yudhishthira is thinking, because of me this has happened. So Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes very much disturbed, and he expresses his desire to renounce and not accept kingship. When Pandavas hear this, the four Pandavas, they are aghast. And then they decide to help him to come out of this disturbance. So the four Pandavas give all kinds of counseling to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and they fail. Then Draupadi comes in, and Draupadi is counseling Yudhishthira Maharaj, and she fails. Then Vyasadeva comes in. He is counseling Yudhishthira Maharaj, and in one sense, he failed. All the great sages who had come for the last rites of the entire Kuru dynasty, they come and counsel Yudhishthira Maharaj. Apparently, they also failed. So everyone now is looking towards Krishna. So Krishna comes. Krishna counsels Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna apparently fails. This is Yudhishthira Maharaj's great lamentation. And then, of course, this is Krishna's desire that Yudhishthira Maharaj should be counseled by someone very special. Now, Krishna had to bring everyone to the main focus of the great devotee who has been misunderstood till this time. So, Krishna is so kind, so merciful that even though the misunderstanding prevailed throughout Bhishma's life, Krishna made it very clear in the end of Bhishma's life who Bhishma was. Phalena paricheyate. If these two chapters would have not taken place, Bhishma would have been always misunderstood, even by devotees. At least outside people may misunderstand Bhishma, but at least devotees know that Bhishma did all that just for fulfilling Krishna's internal desires. So we'll speak about that internal desire later. So Krishna tells Maharaj Yudhishthira, you should go and take counseling from Bhishma. And Yudhishthira Maharaj just sits down and said, that I cannot do. No. Actually, all that pain Bhishma is suffering is actually because of me. How can I go in front of him when he's actually pierced by all those arrows? Don't you remember, Krishna? It was me who went and asked him, Bhishma, if we have to win, then you have to die. How can we kill you? So Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting. So Krishna could not convince Maharaj Yudhishthira to come out of lamentation, but Krishna could convince Yudhishthira Maharaj to go to Bhishma. That is Krishna. Right? So Krishna somehow convinced Yudhishthira Maharaj that you should go there. It will be nice because Bhishma actually will be very, very proud. Bhishma has got Ichhamrityu. He can die whenever he desires. And his only solemn vow is to see the kingdom of Kurukshetra is protected. So by your going, you will be unhappy, but he will be happy. So better you go. So somehow Krishna convinced him to go. And in fact, he told that if you renounce now, then Bhishma will be very unhappy. So by Krishna's persuasion, then finally, Maharaj Yudhishthira agrees to go and meet Bhishma. So then Krishna tells, well, if you go like this, then he will not be very happy. But you want to make him very happy, then first you become the king. So that is Krishna's wonderful way of persuading. So the whole yajna and the activity of Maharaj Yudhishthira becoming the king happens. And with royal clothes, Krishna says, you should go in your royal paraphernalia to meet Bhishma. So, generally, if someone goes to meet a dying man, he would never go in a very opulent dress, right? But here, Bhishma Pitama was approached by Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the Pandavas and everyone of his relatives who were surviving in a very royal opulent dress because they wanted to give pleasure to Bhishma. So, when Bhishma saw Yudhishthira Maharaj coming in,
No one had to tell him that Yudhishthir Maharaj is now the king. He could understand by the opulence of Yudhishthir Maharaj, and he was very happy that finally Yudhishthir Maharaj is now crowned the king. So Bhishma had a very, very difficult position in his life. First of all, as we see the past connection of Vasus, there are Ashtavasus, out of which seven got chance to, they had very bare minimum life on the earth planet. Ganga submerged them in water, but the eighth Vasu remained for a long time. That was Bhishma Pitama. So he had to remain, all his seven people who were his equal counterpart or equal associates, their curse got redeemed. But here he had to remain for a long time, and then he had to see so many tragedies in his life, because he had he had Ichha Mrityu. So he was the only person living, and everyone around him was dying. That's a painful thing, right? Like many times we see and hear from many devotees of very, very elderly and senior, very, very old in age. They mentioned, why, not his devotee, family members also, why I am surviving, why someone younger to me is dying in front of me, maybe why Krishna did not take me. It's a common thing which comes as an emotion, Just imagine Bhishma, not just one by one everyone going, and he is still there, and he has to take the vow, he has a vow of defending the kingdom. Then Vyasadeva comes, this is when Bhishma was still young, Pandavas and Kauravas are not born. Vyasadeva comes and tells Satyavati that Kaliyuga is coming, very dark age, very difficult times will come in your dynasty. Don't wait, retire, go. Satyavati retires, and Bhishma also wants to come, because he also heard. Vyasadeva says, not for you, you stay back. So he knows that, he is seeing everyone retiring or dying, and he's also aware difficult times are going to come, but still he has to remain. That's the most toughest position of Bhishma. So when the Pandavas are born, and then suddenly Pandu dies, and Pandavas are orphan, then Bhishma is taking care of them, Dhritarashtra is plotting, Duryodhana is involved, and all that Bhishma has his heart with the Pandavas, but is very much obliged to the king, the current king Dhritarashtra. So it is said that Bhishma Pitama remained in the kingdom of Kurukshetra because he was in the duty of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means Kshat Trayate Iti, to protect people from harm. So while the kings were changing, the kings were dying, and the whole citizen, the whole kingdom was unprotected, he felt that he should remain intact for the protection of Hastinapur. So this was the ply of Bhishma Pitama, and so he remained for long time just for stability of his kingdom. And then it is said that Bhishma Pitama was waiting for the day. Bhishma Pitama knew very well that even though adharma was being prevailed during the time of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, because of his high spiritual understanding, he knew that even though adharma may prevail, but ultimately dharma will come into picture. So it was this day for which Bhishma Pitama was waiting. Right? So external thing was this day Bhishma Pitama was waiting, but Bhishma also was waiting for Krishna to come. And Krishna fulfilled both of his desires. So when Maharaj Yudhishthira came to meet Bhishma in a royal dress, then it is said that Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj that Bhishma is about to die, and he is a vast ocean of wisdom. So before the ocean disappears, let us go and dip in that ocean of wisdom and carry something from him. So when Krishna is there, and Maharaj Yudhishthira is very remorse, and Bhishma understands that Maharaj Yudhishthira is not happy with the whole thing, then Krishna tells Bhishma that we have come here because Maharaj Yudhishthira has to be counseled by only you. We all failed, only you can do. So Bhishma is like feeling, how can that happen? Krishna, you can counsel anyone. How can you asking me to counsel him? So no, this is the time that you have to counsel him, because that's the best way of getting him back from his remorse situation. So Bhishma is also not ready. It's not like a Bhagavatam class, वो आप क्लास दो, हाँ चलो किधर है द माइक. ही इज ऑल्सो शोइंग हिज रिजर्वेशन. ही सेइंग कृष्णा आई एम अबाउट टू डाई, यू कैन सी मी आई एम ऑन द बेड ऑफ एरोस, एवरी इंच ऑफ माय बॉडी इज पेनिंग, माय वॉइस इज सो फीबल, हाउ कैन आई गिव अ भागवतम क्लास. सेकंड टाइम डिवोटीज गिव रीजन्स नॉट टू गिव भागवतम क्लास. भीष्म पितामह वाज गिविंग रीजन. सो कृष्णा सेड डोंट वरी, आई विल अरेंज एवरीथिंग. And Krishna says, now I'll bless you that all your pain will disappear and your voice will become strong, and until the time you leave your body, you will not know, have no pain. As soon as Krishna says that, from the celestial sky, flowers fall on Bhishma Pitama, and suddenly his pain disappears, his voice becomes strong, and Bhishma starts his class. So Bhishma also is very intelligent. He's a devotee. He knows he's empowered by Krishna. So how does he begin his class? First by glorifying Krishna. This is how Bhagavatam has begun here. So first he begins with a little patch up by saying that actually Bhishma says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you may thinking that I am suffering because of you, and you may thinking that everyone is suffering because of you, but actually I think that you are suffering because all of us. And I am also surprised, Pandavas, five of them, such powerful people, how can they suffer? And finally he mentions that it is because of time factor. And this time factor is all nothing but Krishna's expansion, Krishna's will. So Maharaj Yudhishthir, like I was reading this article from Bhaktivedanta magazine, Ravindra Swarupu mentions very beautiful point. So Bhishma Pitama is trying to tell Yudhishthir Maharaj, my dear Yudhishthir, try to understand Krishna's plan. If you cannot understand Krishna's plan, you just execute what is told to you, because in eventually by execution of what is told, you'll eventually understand Krishna's glorious plan. And still Yudhishthir Maharaj is not able to understand, then Bhishma mentions, just see Krishna's plan. I was always misunderstood. People took me always wrong. Even in the battle of Kurukshetra, I was not on your side, I was on the opposite side. And all misunderstood. And I was thinking, why Krishna is putting me here? But I executed Krishna's will, and now I can understand that now when I am about to leave my body, you have come, all the great Vaishnavas are there, all the great sages are there. Can you imagine all the great sages of all the universe have come to hear from a dying man who is Kshatriya by his profession. And now Krishna has come. So this is the glorious plan now which is revealed. So it took time for me to understand Krishna's plan. For you it will take some time, but you just execute your duty. And from there now, Yudhishthir Maharaj starts glorifying Krishna. So it's like a long verses, series of verses we just covered just in between here. And now here we see Yudhishthir Maharaj speaking about the instructions. From this particular shloka, Bhishma Pitama speaks about Raj Dharma, especially Raj Dharma. He is beginning with the four varanas and four ashramas. Ultimately, focus will come on the kingly duties. So, Bhishma Pitama is speaking, but actually Maharaj Yudhishthira actually propelled Bhishma to tell him how he can rule as a king. So, these instructions, which are a few instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam, which delineates pure devotional service, right? This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, and so the details are not given here, but the Mahabharata contains around two parvas, Shanti Parva, the Parva of Peace, and Anushasan Parva, the final instructions of Bhishma. And in two parvas, it is said Bhishma instructs Yudhishthir Maharaj. How many days of instructions? 5 to 6 days Bhishma is instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj. You can imagine what kind of knowledge or amazing insight Yudhishthir Maharaj got from Bhishma Pitamaha. So Bhishma understood finally that Krishna's plan is working very nicely, and towards the end of the 6 days, Bhishma understands. See, Bhishma was immersed, absorbed in speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and suddenly then he became conscious of the sun's movement, right? That's also Krishna's arrangement, that now time has come, 9:15, Bhagavatam class should get over. So, conscious of son's movement, right? And then Yudhishthira Bhishma comes to the end of his beautiful discourse. Then Bhishma suddenly turns all his attention from everyone and focuses on Krishna. So he withdrew his consciousness from the external world and then focused on Krishna. There also again he glorified Krishna. Especially he glorified Krishna as Partha Sakha or Partha Sarthi. This is the form which he always loved to see. That's his Ishta form or Ishta Dev, as we can say. And then we all know that Uttarayan takes place, right? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very drastic angle to Uttarayan. He mentions, what is Uttarayan? So Uttarayan has another meaning, he says. Ayan means Ramayan, can be also a journey of Lord Ram. Ayan can also mean to be placed or situated, like Narayan. The word Narayan has come because the foremost Nara in this material universe is Lord Vishnu. So when he came and entered this universe, from his body came the waters of Garbhodak Sagar. So from his body, what the water became? From Nara, the water became Nara. From body of Nara came Nara, the water. And on that Nara, someone who is situated or sleeping, he is Narayan. Right? So Uttarayan means, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, Uttarayan, one who is situated in the womb of Uttara. So this is not Parikshit Maharaj. This is Krishna who came in the womb of Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj. So he is saying that actually Uttarayan will be definitely there, that is there, but the internal reason is Bhishma is now focusing on Uttarayan, that is Krishna, who entered in the womb of Uttara, and there he was situated very peacefully and he was protecting Parikshit Maharaj. So you can see that how our acharyas also give a very unique glimpse in the whole idea of Uttarayan. Of course, Uttarayan is very special. We are followers of Vedas, so we cannot be saying it is not good. Uttarayan is very important. Sun enters another course of his journey. And it is mentioned that Bhishma Pitama, while focusing, absorbed in Krishna, he departs. So then he, while living, he speaks the instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And while living, both ways he taught us how to practice Krishna consciousness. So we can see here that how Vishnu Pitama concluded his lifespan in a very wonderful way by the mercy of Krishna. He could focus on Krishna and then he went back home, back to Varanasi. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his conversations that Bhishma was specifically focusing on Krishna's 400 form, and that too as a form on the battle of Kurukshetra, where Krishna was fighting, or Krishna was as a chariot driver of Arjuna, as Partha Sarathi. So Prabhupada mentions that in Vaikuntha, there are many planets of Vaikuntha. There is one planet called as Partha Sarathi Loka, where ultimately Bhishma Pitama went. So we see that Bhishma Pitama's leaving his body can also be compared to Srila Prabhupada's leaving his body. I guess many devotees must have spoken about this. These are two simple things about Bhishma and Prabhupada, that Bhishma left his body while speaking instructions. Srila Prabhupada also, while leaving his body, he was giving Bhaktivedanta purports till the fag end of his life. He gave Bhagavatam purports, right, because that was his service to his spiritual master. So unique thing, Srila Prabhupada did not forget his service to his spiritual master till the end of his life. Even though he has achieved so much, his spiritual master told him to preach in the Western world and print books. But he did more than what his spiritual master wanted. He traveled all over the world, and not just Western, Eastern, Northern, Southern, everywhere. Even India also established Krishna consciousness, wrote so many books apart from, and printed them. Anyone distributed. Distribution was not told by his spiritual master. He even distributed those books and formed a society of devotees. And in spite of that, he did not give up his initial instruction which he received directly from his guru. He kept on dictating Srimad Bhagavatam purports even at the end of his earthly pastimes. And just like Bhishma Pitama also departed at a very auspicious time, Uttarayan. It is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada also departed in a very auspicious atmosphere, auspicious time, Kartik, auspicious atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham. So this is some similarity between our Srila Prabhupada and Bhishma Pitama. Coming back to the purport, Srila Prabhupada here beautifully mentions about how Bhishma Pitama is speaking about Varnashram Dharma. But before Varnashram Dharma, Bhishma Pitama is first speaking about a preliminary qualification to enter Varnashram. So there is Varnashram Dharma, and before that there is Samanya Dharma. Right? So we'll say, see in the second paragraph of this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Bhishma Pitama's Mahabharat narration of a particular section where Bhishma Dev is advising all human beings to follow 9 qualifications. So, as we see here, this is a chapter, this is a section of verses which begins now glorifying or delineating the importance of following Varna and Ashrama duties. Basically, what we see here is, before Varnashram Dharma even begins, every living entity born on the earth planet in the human body have to also perform or qualify to be a human being. Like one time one gentleman came and met Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, from today I am vegetarian. So Prabhupada said, from today you have become a human being. So that was very surprising. He thought it's a very big thing, you know, he's become vegetarian. So Prabhupada, you have become a human being from today. And Prabhupada did say, what is the difference between animals running on 4 legs and human beings running on 4 wheels? So this is a royal edition of animal civilization in earth planet. So we'll call modern humans as royal edition of animals. Which means just being born as human is not qualifying one as human one. And one needs to also behave like human. Some few years back, some film stars put a very important, kind of very famous t-shirt on his body. And everyone was wearing, being human, right? But actually they should write being human here, and these 9 qualifications should be written behind the t-shirt. What Bhishma Pitama is advising, 9. And if we read that, we will be surprised. Let's read one by one. I already read in the purport before. Let's read again. First, not to become angry. Second, not to lie. Now each one of them are so heavy, not to become angry, not to lie, to equally distribute wealth. This is preliminary qualification, not even Varnashram Dharma. This is Samanya Dharma. Fourth is to forgive. Fifth is to beget children only by one's legitimate wife, which has also become Kali Yuga's sinful activity now. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. Seventh, not to be inimical towards anyone. Eighth, to be simple. And 9th, again one more difficult thing, to support servants or subordinates. So even this preliminary qualification is so difficult at this time in the age of Kali Yuga. What to speak of going ahead and becoming a very responsible particular varna or particular ashrama. We are in for a big surprise for us, right? Srila Prabhupada therefore toiled so much hard to first establish Krishna consciousness, and then he wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma. Kadam Kanan Maharaj was once giving a beautiful class. He was mentioning that now the Krishna consciousness is established all over the world, why there is now a need felt for Varnashram Dharma. He mentioned Srila Prabhupada came in a time when there was very less time for him, and he had to establish Krishna consciousness out of nothing. There was no background of Krishna consciousness. There was no connection. It's like Prabhupada going and implanting suddenly. It's like in the desert going and implanting a mango tree. And mango tree, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu implanted a seed and mango tree grew. Prabhupada did the same task in a desert of Western civilization. He went and implanted the mango tree of Krishna consciousness, also made it grow and made the fruits come out in such a short time. So that was unprecedented, something to be done by any acharya in the past. Srila Prabhupada did that, but Srila Prabhupada understood after a certain time, and that's we see towards the end of his pastimes, Ashwini Srila Prabhupada disciples have said, Prabhupada often spoke about Varnashram Dharma in the end. In fact, Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach and he decided to go to London when he was in Vrindavan in the last stage of his life. And everyone thought if he goes to London, then he'll become very inspired, he'll regain his health. So Prabhupada took that very difficult journey with those bones, bony body, to go to London. And he travelled to London, but London, it was so difficult. Prabhupada said, first I'll go to London, from there I'll go to USA, to Gita Nagari, I will stay there and I'll teach you how to be living simple life connected to nature or Mother Earth. This is Prabhupada's personal understanding. But Prabhupada could not go to Gita Nagari, he had come back to Vrindavan and then he had to leave his body. So we see here that how even this basic minimum qualities are so difficult. So, these qualities which Bhishma Pitama is mentioning about is the Samanya Dharma is a foundation. The Varnashram Dharma later is also the foundation on which our bhakti can be nicely built. Sometimes devotees may ask that Prabhupada many times said, just be Krishna conscious. What is the use of all these things? Why Varnashram Dharma or why this other kind of things? So just be. If you are a devotee, then all the great qualities of demigods will come to you. So, we need to analyze that Prabhupada did mention that when he was establishing Krishna consciousness all over the world to focus. But Prabhupada also mentioned in his own conversations and his talks that he needed to establish Varnashram Dharma. Like Kadam Kanan Maharaj in the same talk was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada, when he established Krishna consciousness, that the Krishna consciousness movement exploded. And then Prabhupada departed. And then the Krishna consciousness movement exploded more. And suddenly, Prabhupada was not there. Prabhupada was like the gardener who was regularly trimming that growth. But Prabhupada left, the trimming did not happen. And that growth became a wild growth. Like for example, we can ask Kesha Chandrapu, he is taking care of Vrindavan forest. Now he knows how things have to be properly trimmed. Otherwise, you will not have proper pathways. Even Gaur Gadadhar has to regularly take care of Tulsi Maharani. Otherwise, they will just grow. So, growth is good, but there has to be trimming and control growth has to be there. And then he mentions Kadam Kanan Maharaj that how Varnashram Dharma will control that growth, will give a shape to that growth. Otherwise, we will become devotees, but we will become untrained devotees. We will be chanting Hare Krishna, but we will be misbehaving with our dharma and our ashramas. We will not know what is a grahastha, what is a brahmachari, what is sannyasi. We may give excuse of being a devotee and not follow our duties. So that's a very wonderful understanding. So Prabhupada says once that first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. What it means is, Prabhupada says, first you become conscious. Conscious about people around you, surrounding around you, behavior of your in the surrounding. Then automatically Krishna consciousness will also come. Right? So we see that how Prabhupada was in his heart of hearts, wanted to establish this society with proper rules and regulations. Like one devotee was mentioning in his class, the four regulative principles are nothing but all the do's and don'ts of scriptures combined in a coded form, the four principles. But those four principles have to be decoded and made to understand in this age of Kali Yuga what actually those principles means, what actually chanting also means. Like chanting Hare Krishna on the beach is one aspect, but how to chant also is another aspect, right? So as we grow in our Krishna consciousness, we come to know more about how to become better devotees. So therefore, Krishna conscious devotees, they need to be also, after coming in Krishna consciousness, need to be very refined in their behavior. One very famous Indian monk who went to America, he was walking on the street and one English gentleman asked him, seeing his clothes, the saffron dress, he asked him that, why don't you dress like a gentleman? So this monk said, in your country, the tailor makes you gentleman. In my country, character makes one gentleman. So, good slap on his face, right? And Srila Prabhupada actually told everyone that devotee means first class gentleman. Not just externals or wearing devotee robes, but he should be great gentleman. Just by seeing him with tilak, people should be inspired. But when people come close to you, they should still remain inspired. Not they are inspired from very far away. But they should be inspired by even coming close to you, close to you. So, yes, Prabhupada said, just be Krishna conscious. Bas bhakti karo. These are the different things which we hear. But if you analyze, just be Krishna conscious. Are we really just be Krishna conscious? Bas bhakti karo. Are we really doing bas bhakti? That's a good question to ask ourselves. So we see that we want to do bas bhakti, but there are so many impediments in this bas bhakti because we are not properly trained. We are coming from a background where there are no samskaras. Whatever little samskaras we have, we are very proud of that. But we don't know what actually samskaras of a human being is. So this is very important, all the samanya dharma, the varnashram duties, and that's why they find place in the scriptures here. And Srila Prabhupada also wanted the devotees to practice Krishna consciousness with sincerity and with earnest responsibility. Srila Prabhupada, when he established Krishna consciousness, there was nothing there. There was no background, there is no status. But still Prabhupada tried and did something. Like Prabhupada went there, he began the Brahmachari ashram of devotees who had no concept of Brahmachari. They had done everything and they came and joined the ashram. And the ladies were also coming, so Prabhupada said Brahmacharini ashram. Then Prabhupada gave initiation to all males and females. So Prabhupada establishing, somehow or other Prabhupada establishing Krishna consciousness. And yet in that somehow or other establishment, Prabhupada was criticized heavily by so-called Brahmanas in India, or also his Gaudiya Math devotees were also criticizing him that he is diluting the whole thing of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Right, like one time one person approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, all your disciples, all your foreign disciples, that time Prabhupada disciples mean all your foreign disciples, all your foreign disciples, they are hearing your class and they are always sleeping. So Prabhupada heard that comment. He said, are they always sleeping? Yes, they are always sleeping. Prabhupada said, always sleeping? So Prabhupada agreed they are sleeping. Prabhupada did not agree, always sleeping. How Prabhupada was trying to support this devotees, these people who have just become devotees. Are they always sleeping? He said, Swamiji, no, 90% they are sleeping. 10% they are awake. And Prabhupada said, 10% they are awake and they are hearing and so much transformation in them. And you claim to be 100% awake, no transformation. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Right? One person came in Vrindavan and said, Swamiji, your devotees are not following Ekadashi properly. Prabhupada said, unke baap dada ne kabhi Ekadashi ka naam suna nahi tha. They were never heard Ekadashi before. So Prabhupada was trying to establish somehow or other. Even in ISKCON also, somehow or other devotees are trying, but there is so much debate. One particular group is saying, this is how Varnashram Prabhupada said. This devotee is saying, this is how Varnashram. So much of debate. But the point is, let's begin somewhere. Because there is no point in just arguing which is Varnashram, what is Varnashram. Varnashram is not just a small thing. It's a very huge subject matter. And every acharya, every devotee who is following Varnashram follows in a unique style. Because the sun is not, we can example that how Varnashram Dharma is part of the Vedas. And Vedas is mammoth, huge, gigantic. So therefore, the whole idea is that how somehow or other we can follow the instructions which are given by Srila Prabhupada in our daily life of being a devotee and also take part in whatever way our understanding our roles and responsibilities as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. We are not having enough time, but Srila Bhishma Dev's translation and Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada also speaks next to paragraph about who is a kshatriya and who is a brahmana. So that will take another half an hour. So time is very less. But one small thing before we end is how Bhishma Pitama was misunderstood by all people, but Krishna made it very completely right as he was leaving his body. So externally, Bhishma was following Kshatriya Dharma. I have taken food from Duryodhan, so I should support him. But internally, Bhishma was following devotee Dharma. That means he was executing the order of Krishna. But beyond his external and internal, there is one more, another thing which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the rasa factor. So beyond the externals and internals, Bhishma was actually following Krishna's rasa desire, because Krishna and Bhishma were in rasa of chivalry. So chivalry means fight. And if Bhishma has to experience chivalry and Krishna has to experience chivalry from Bhishma, they have to be on opposite sides. And that's where Bhishma decided to be on Duryodhan's side, not for Duryodhan's sake, not for because he's a devotee and all that thing, but he wanted to give pleasure to Krishna in a unique way. So Bhishma was smiling always and shooting arrows at Krishna. So Prabhupada says in one particular lecture, Krishna consciousness is not stereotyped. Bhishma was shooting arrows and pleasing Krishna. We may think we should offer Krishna flowers and please Krishna. That may be one aspect. But Bhishma knew Krishna wants arrows. So he was shooting arrows, offering arrows and pleasing Krishna. And finally we see that how Bhishma Pitama was very happy. So Krishna was running in one instance where he had taken a vow to kill Arjuna or break the vow of Krishna. So Krishna was trying to kill Bhishma and Bhishma was ready to be killed by Krishna. So this is the great, the dynamics of devotee and Krishna, that Krishna is coming to kill Bhishma and Bhishma is saying, Krishna, please kill me. So this is something which we will not be able to fathom, the depth of Bhishma's relationship with Krishna. But in short, Srimad Bhagavatam delineates the great glory of Bhishma Pitama, of how even in the such a dying circumstances, Bhishma gave beautiful instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir for a very long, long period of time. And Krishna brought in the glory of Bhishma Pitama through this beautiful chapter of passing away of Bhishma Deva. So, Andy, thank you so much for staying a little more extra time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.